Please be seated. So our epistle this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. It comes from the third chapter, starting at verse 5. It says, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Christ. See, Paul, before he became Paul, when his name was Saul, you remember the story? Was a Hebrew of Hebrews. That's how he referred to himself. He was confident in his flesh. He was confident in himself and in the system he had grown up in. The system of law, the system of society, the system of culture. He was good at it. He was passionate for it. He was zealous for it. But ultimately, despite all that passion and zeal, he was not satisfied with it. It didn't fill him up. Why not? See, I've often said I can relate to Paul. There was a time when I considered myself successful. After a career as a Marine officer, I went to work in the private sector. I used my field of expertise, which was moving people and equipment and supplies from place to place. And I was good at it. I made decent money at it. I was even passionate about it, if you can imagine. You might even say I was zealous for it. I was zealous for money and power and prestige. The thing about all of that was I was never satisfied. I was never filled up to a point of contentment. Or even more importantly, peace. Peace was elusive. It's not something I could ever attain. See, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi is considered by theologians as this great foundational work of what we call classical theological systems, systematic theology. It deals very succinctly, very precisely with three very important topics that we talk about frequently in the church. That's justification, sanctification, and glorification. Saving grace, sanctifying grace, and then the end result of all of that, which is finally glory, as we become Christ-like, become like Jesus, put on our heavenly bodies and our heavenly attitudes, our heavenly spiritual nature. And so I want to talk just a few minutes this morning. Let's all go to seminary for a little bit this morning and talk about these theological concepts in Paul's letter. So when you leave here, you can all go and become pastors of your own church. Please don't do that. This would be a very empty place if we all went this way. See, what Paul gives us here is an account of who he was in the flesh. That's how he opens these verses. Who he was in the world. Who he was in the culture. And he's in fact not boasting here. He's confessing. He's not boasting. He's not bragging about who he was in the world. He's confessing about who he was in the world. Do you see the difference? He says, "You know my pedigree. I had a legitimate birth. I was circumcised on the eighth day, just like you're supposed to be. I was an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin. I was a strict and devout adherent to the law of God. I was a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting this newfound church. I was a meticulous observer of everything that was set down in God's law book." It does sound like he's boasting there, doesn't it? But he says then the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. See, when Paul realizes that all of that, all of those credentials, all of that prestige and power that he enjoyed, when he realized that all of those don't amount to anything compared to Christ, then he confesses that he was wrong and he turns from his wicked ways. He says, "Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant." In fact, he calls it dog dung. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. It's quite a difference in attitude, isn't it? From thinking that prestige and power, all of those things he had going for him in the flesh, now he compares it to something as rubbish, as garbage, as dung, as worthless. It's somewhat painful and somewhat embarrassing for me to stand here and say that there was a time in my life that I felt as Paul did. When I look back on it, though many might say that I was on top of my game, see, I knew that something fundamental and important was missing in my life. As many people do, I placed my needs, my wants, my desires, I placed those first. And the thing about that was that no matter what I did for me, it didn't satisfy me. And so when I finally decided that something was missing to the point where a change needed to be made, and I didn't yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only thing I knew to do was to tear it down in the most destructive ways possible. To tear everything that I had built down and start over. And so when I finally hit rock bottom and I've had enough of me, I asked God if it were at all possible for me to maybe start again, this time without me at the controls, this time with Him at the controls. I asked Jesus to be my Lord. I confessed that I needed a Savior. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, Paul says, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. See, like Paul, I got to experience justification, that saving grace of God through Christ our Lord. But the thing is, God didn't stop there with me any more than He stopped there with Paul. And this is what God does. If you finally turn to Him and say, I've had enough of me. I'm not satisfied with me. I can't satisfy whatever this is, this hole in my soul. I can't do it without You, Lord God. When you finally accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're justified. And God loves you so much that He won't just leave you at that point of justification. No. That's the beginning of the process. So after a life of sin and destruction, there's much rebuilding. There's much redemption that has to be accomplished. And redemption requires suffering. It requires purification. It requires that we actually grow. We can't remain stagnant. We can't remain in the same place. We have to move forward into a relationship with God through Jesus. And so Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death. In other words, we have to ask ourselves the question after our justification, after we accept Jesus, after we're saved, we have to ask the question, am I willing now to get to know my Savior Jesus, who took my sins from me and gave me this righteousness? What do I do with it now that I have it? Am I willing to die to myself every day and suffer alongside Christ for the truth? Am I willing to give all of myself away so that I can be filled totally with Him each and every day? You know, like Kermit says, it ain't easy being green. Well, Paul says it ain't easy being a Christ follower. It's a conscious effort every morning to get up and give yourself away so that Jesus can fill you. And so, like Paul, we have to give up all that inferior stuff so we can know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself if necessary. And this is the process we call sanctification. Becoming every day more and more like Christ. So in two verses in this letter, Paul has gone through the process of justification, being saved by accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, and sanctification, which is dying to self and becoming every day more and more like Christ. But see, Paul's goal was not justification, not sanctification, but glorification. And indeed, the goal of every believer is to achieve this Christ-likeness, to be glorified. Paul writes, to attain the resurrection from the dead. That does mean physical death, but it also means spiritual death. Resurrection from who we were, born again, justified by Christ into this right relationship with God, redeemed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, which is sanctified, and finally achieving perfection, glorification, as we resume our created identity as the children of God, the way we were created to be in the first place. Justification, sanctification, glorification. See, it's a long road that Paul traveled. It's a long, hard road from being all about self to being justified, sanctified, and glorified. And as believers, we can also travel that road, that narrow way that leads to the goal. None of us here have attained it yet. But Paul encourages us this morning to keep at it. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." If you, like me, are traveling that road to glorification as a believer in Christ, Paul is telling you here today, no matter what suffering and struggle comes your way, no matter what trials, tribulations, roadblocks, pain, suffering, no matter what people try to divert your attention away from the goal, we have to keep hope. We have to keep the faith to persevere by the strength that is in you through Jesus Christ, who strengthens you, and press on. Press on toward the prize that is yours to claim. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.